with that javelin. It go in the wall. He stayed alive. And then David had to flee. God gave him 600 men to go with him. And now he was hid in the rocks. And Saul took 3,000 soldiers to chase him. And he came to the sheep coats by the way. And there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. He got tired and sleepy. He'd take him a nap in the middle of the day. And David and his men, they were in that cave. God sent him there. David and his 600 men was hid in that cave. And Saul went in there to take a nap right in the middle of the day. And his 3,000 men outside there bivouacking. And the men of David said to him, "Behold the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, and thou mayst do to him as it seem good to thee. We'll take care of him if you'll let us." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. He just went up there. He was laying there asleep. And he cut off a piece of his robe and took off. And it came to pass afterward, David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Now, why did he feel that way? Here's why. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." Now, see, God had anointed him to be the king. And God hadn't removed him. What was that respect? That's the reason he was a man after God's own heart. "I'm not going to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants and wouldn't let him kill him. And then he went out there and verse 9, David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." He wouldn't touch him. He just wasn't going to do it. Well, he goes on down here in verse 16. When David had made him into speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" See, he'd married his daughter. He was his son-in-law. He married Michal, his daughter. And Saul took his wife away from him, giving to another fellow. And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." He said, "Will a man let his enemy go away when he finds him and can kill him?" "No." But said, "You let me go." Now, I want to conclude there. You can read it. But I want you to go to 1 Samuel 26. And here's another case. He's chasing him some more. It was told Saul that David hides himself in Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon. And Saul arose and went to the wilderness of Ziph with 3,000 chosen men of Israel. Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, and David abode in the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul indeed was come. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain, or rather the general of his host. And Saul lay in the trench and the people around him. And then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" And Abishai said, "I'll go with thee." That was his cousin. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and the spear stuck at the ground at his bolster. But Abner the people lay around him. Then said Abishai to David, "God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once. I will not smite him the second time." All them other fellows, they wasn't like David. David, a man after God's own heart. "I ain't going to touch God's anointing." Listen to what he said. David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" See, God's going to have to take care of the fellow. David said furthermore, "As the Lord liveth, and the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. Let God handle him. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee," said, "take his spear at his bolster and his cruse of water and let us go." And that great sleep had fallen upon them. Then verse 13, David went over to the other side and stood on top of a hill. a long way between them. And David said to the people and to Abner, "Answerest thou not, Abner?" Abner answered, "Who are you that criest to the king?" David said to Abner, "Aren't you not a valiant man, and who is like thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept the Lord thy king?" Because there came somebody to kill him. The Lord said, "The thing is not good that thou doest. As the Lord liveth, you are worthy to die, because you have not kept your master the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is in the cruse of water that was at his bolster." And Saul knew David's voice. And he said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done, and what evil is in my hand? Why do you chase me like this? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant." His servant. David's anointed to be the king, and his throne established to rule forever among God's people, being chased by a king that's been rejected, but look at the respect he has. It says, "If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord." And listen to this. "For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord." You've driven me out of the inheritance God gave me, saying, "Go serve other gods." I tell you, folks, when you got an inheritance, it's worth fighting to keep possession of it. When God gives you inheritance, God gave me an inheritance through my old mother and dad and some other fine people of God, old men of God, back in the 20s and 30s and even back before that, that we share in this ministry. I didn't get it. It's kind of like that song I like to refer to, the girls sing sometime. "Remind me, dear Lord, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only loaned them to me to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord, what I have is not mine. I got it. You loaned it. I got it from my mom and daddy. They got it from somebody. They passed it down. And you didn't give it to me for me to say, 'Hey, God bless me and my wife, John's son, and his wife, and us four no more.' You gave it to me to share with God's people that you call and choose to be benefited by that inheritance." Praise God. Everything David got, he unselfishly indulged it into the making the lives of those whom God had given him better. Those 600 men and their families that followed him, everything he got, he divided among them. Everything he got. He never took a lion's share. Then when he got to be on the throne and got to be king and ruled over Israel, and God made that nation the wealthiest nation in history, he never indulged it on himself. Somebody do him a favor like old Barzillai saved his life from Absalom. He said, "Come on, go back home and eat at my table with me." Old Barzillai said, "I can't taste food, and I can't see, and I can't even hear singing men and women." He said, "Take my son, let him sit at your table." Praise God. David was always looking for something to be benevolent and to share with somebody that would do something that was worthy of a reward. And he just had people just around him all the time. His friends and those people that were his helpers in Christ Jesus or in the Lord in that day. Now he said, "Saul, you run me out of mine inheritance. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains." He didn't rise up, "Hey, God's anointed me to be the king. Why don't you get out of the way and let me get on that throne?" He never had no such a spirit set. Then said Saul, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Now see, David's God's anointed now, really. But he said, "I'm not going to touch that man." Samuel poured oil on his head by God's direction. And the Spirit of God came on him. You remember that over 1 Samuel? The ninth chapter ends up, and Samuel led him out of the city and said, "Stand still while I show thee the word of the Lord." In the next chapter, he poured all on his head and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I've anointed thee to be captain over my people." And God put the spirit of prophecy on him and changed him and gave him a new heart. And you going to fool with a man like that? No, David ain't going to touch him. He said he's going to come today for him to die. The Lord can remove him somewhere here, die in battle. But God forbid, I ain't going to stretch my hand out on him and touch him. Woo! Listen to what Saul said in the last verse of chapter 1 Samuel 26. Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David, for thou shalt both do great things and also shalt still prevail." So David went on out on his way, and Saul returned to his place. It goes on a little bit, and Saul and his son falls in battle. God removes him from being king. In conclusion, let me get this in there. David was a praying man, and David was a fasting man. Let me just give you those scriptures quickly here in Psalm the 50.